back here tonight that is getting right close to the time that we have our youth rally here. I think 20 days, if you count today. May 19th is coming up. Over here on the table is some tracks with the information and some postcards. We got to start getting these out and getting the information out to people around in our neighborhoods, people at work. It's open to anybody. All the information is on there, so please take them. We'll keep refilling them until they're all gone so we can just struggle, work together. So if one soul, just if one soul gets saved, it'll be well worth every bit of it. And only eternity knows what we do for the Lord. When the whole story is told, I think we're going to be quite surprised. You know, sometimes it just seems like we're just spinning our wheels. Sometimes, you know, like we're in a ditch and not able to get up and go far at all. But I tell you, if you're doing it with the right motive, right heart, and you're doing it so God gets the glory, I think we're going to be quite surprised when we get to heaven. The Lord knows our frame. He knows we're but dust. He doesn't ask us to do any more than we can possibly do. He's not asking us to be like Superman or Spider-Man or Batman. All he's asking us to be, Christ-like. That's it. And he put himself inside of us to help us achieve that. It's an amazing thing when you just sit back and you think about it. Be in prayer for Pastor up in Perry. Up in Perry, Florida. Up there, Brother Clark told me about a man the church just asked to leave. Their reasoning was he preached too much, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the Bible. When he told me that, I said, oh, gee, thanks, Brother Clark. I've only preached through 20 books here at Lockhaven. That gives me encouragement. But isn't that a sad thing to ask somebody to leave because they preach too much through the Bible? Wow. Lord's going to get him another place he can serve, and Lord will take care of that church for sure. Let's go to the book of Mark as we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter.
Amen.
Through the book of Mark. Some of y'all think it's going to scare me off of Mark. We're on the downhill slide of Mark, aren't we? Chapter 9, there are only 16 chapters. We're in chapter 9, and we're at verse 30 tonight. Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 30. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 30. We will not tarry long. We know we have a lot of stuff yet to cover here at the church before the night's over. So we'll get right into the Word of God, and we'll try to understand what the Lord is trying to teach us tonight. In Mark chapter number 9, verse 30, we'll read to verse 37, and we'll just talk about a few thoughts here. Mark 9, verse 30. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples, and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. Verse 33, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves, who should be the greatest? And he sat down, and he called the 12, and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. And he took a child, and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Well, there at the foothills of Mount Hermon, Heron, you know, last week you looked at the scribes questioning and trying to confuse the disciples even more. And it says here that Jesus, in verse 30, that they departed thence. They've left, they're leaving this area of Mount Hermon, and they're returning to Galilee. But there's something here that we didn't pick up on any other times. You remember, we're back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. Back and forth across the Sea of Galilee, they went. They ended up over at Mount Hermon, Mount Transfiguration. But every time, there was a crowd of people that followed them about. Every time. But this time, if you notice, it says here in verse number 30, and he would not that any man should know it. So Jesus is leaving Mount Hermon area, headed over into Galilee, headed to across Galilee on the other side, up to Capernaum. And he decides to break away, spend a little time, just him and his disciples. And it's obvious they need it. They just come from a pretty rough situation, being handled pretty rough by the scribes and Pharisees. So he took them away. And this here, if the time frame is correct in some of the commentaries, is about 6 months prior to the crucifixion. So he's getting ready. I mean, he's leading up into that point. He's, matter of fact, this here trip, he's getting ready to head over into Judea. Judea is where he finishes up his earthly ministry. Chapter 10 and verse number 1, if you would. Chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, and he arose from thence and cometh unto the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. So he's headed over into that portion. But this time he decided to take kind of a little private trip. He just wanted to spend some time with his disciples, maybe get them on the same sheet of music. And it's obvious from the text that they weren't on the same sheet of music. As we read through here, they weren't on the, they weren't, matter of fact, they were looking for preeminence. But he taught them. He pulled them aside and he taught them. He said there in verse number 31, he says, as he taught his disciples, said, listen, the Son of Man's going to be delivered up. He's going to be in the hands of men. He shall be killed. And after 3 days, he's going to rise again. You know, and this is, you know, this morning I talked about, I know it was last week I mentioned, if we knew tomorrow would be our last day, Wednesday I mentioned that, would we work harder today? Jesus knew. He knew when his days was up. I mean, he understood that his time was coming to an end, and he took time away that he might spend some time to talk with his disciples, and he explained this. If you go back and study Scripture throughout the Gospels, this is actually the third time he said this statement, and they still didn't understand. Why didn't they understand it? They were looking for an earthly kingdom. They were looking for a rise, a general that would rise up an army and run the Romans right out of the land of Israel, and they would go back just like they had been before and time passed, but they missed it. They didn't understand it. Matter of fact, verse 32 says, but they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. Have you ever been afraid to ask somebody a question? Thinking it was maybe a silly question, maybe a dumb question. Maybe you think, well, I should know that. Why ask that? As the days tick along in my life, I'm understanding that there's some things that I thought I may have known, or I did know at one time, but they've kind of slipped a little bit. You know, like for instance, if I had to do some fractions right now, oh, it would be horrible. But I can look at something and break it down into, you know, into four quarters and 3/16. I can look at, but to convert all that, I'd be lost. I'd have to ask. Wouldn't it be silly for me needing to come up with a fraction so I don't give away a $100 bill and I'm afraid to ask how to break this thing down into fractions and I end up just throwing away a $100 bill? Pastor, well, who would do that? A lot of times we throw away a lot more than a $100 bill. I'm going to tell you, wisdom is to be gotten and to be held onto, and pearls and jewels and things of that nature are not able to buy that. We need God's wisdom. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask. They misunderstood. They didn't know what was going on. And this is the third time that Jesus has made this very same statement there. They didn't understand who would deliver him up. If they could just stop and ask, just think for a moment. Oh, here's Thomas. Lord, I don't quite understand. What are you talking about? Well, why would he ask that? Why did he ask it in John chapter 14? Lord, the way you go, the way we don't know where you're going. You're going to have to help us out. He said, I'm the way, the truth, life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He could have asked the question. Perhaps he could have turned the heart of Judas. How do you know? We don't know. You never know. So listen, don't be afraid to ask. But the whole reason they were afraid to ask was because they were looking for something else. They had a preconceived idea of what Jesus was supposed to be doing. The Messiah was supposed to be doing when he tried to tell them time and time again, I've come to seek and save that which is lost. I want to be delivered up, guys. I want to be taken up. You remember chapter number, what is it? Chapter 8. Look back to chapter 8. Verse number 31. Chapter 8, verse 31. Here's another time he said it. Just a couple of days prior to this, while they're in this portion of ministry along the Galilee. Here Jesus says to them, verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and then Peter rebuked him. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, verse 33. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, Jesus, it says, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Perhaps they were afraid of the stern rebuke. I don't know. They didn't get it back then. Peter didn't get it. You know, sometimes whenever you get rebuked, it kind of takes the wind out of your sails there a little bit. So for some reason, they didn't ask. But they didn't mind the preeminence. They didn't mind the misunderstanding. All they was worried about was, I'm better at you. Kind of remind me of little old, you know, kids at the playground. You know, too, Johnny and Steve out there playing the playground. My daddy can beat your daddy up. My daddy's stronger than your daddy. And so forth. And this is where it was going. Look here in verse number 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? I don't know, but it just seems like to me, if the Lord knew and brought this out, I just say, Lord, I thought I was best. I confess it. I mean, he knows their heart and their thoughts. You see, this is an example for us in the Scripture that we, God's people who have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, has the same type of relationship that's going on here. Jesus with them, physically with them, and he brings up their thoughts, their argument, and the Holy Ghost is with us, in us, and he knows us, and he hears us, and he's with us everywhere and whatsoever we go, and whatsoever we put our hand to. And so he's there in us. And so when the Holy Spirit of God convicts us, speak up. Lord, I was wrong. Don't make no excuses. He knows the answer. Look what it says there in the next verse. They held their peace. That's exactly what we... When the Holy Ghost of God's convicting us, we clam up. Oh, Lord. Maybe it'll pass over. Maybe it's just a cold. Maybe it's a fever. Maybe this will go away. And Jesus said this, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. A desire for preeminence. Go with me to 3 John. Hold your place there. There was another gentleman over here that wanted preeminence. 3 John. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. So if you get over there to Revelation, back up two chapters, two books. Jude has one chapter, 3 John has one chapter, so it's kind of a little place there hidden in the back. Verse number 6, let's start there, verse 6. Which hath borne witness of the charity before the church, so it's a church city, Whom if thou bringeth forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that's for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Talking about the missionaries and preachers and people that come through to present the gospel, that we're to take care of them. If you study it in context, make sure that we do right by them. Verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. I wrote unto the church, this is what John's saying, I wrote unto the church, and then there's this pause, but Diotrephes, whatever his name, Mr. Preeminence, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Receive us not. There's always somebody that's got to have the preeminence, that got to have the say-so. Somebody that thinks they're always the big shot, or what you might say. But I'm going to tell you something. If you follow Scripture, Jesus is the head. We are the body. And where the head goes, the body should follow. Should follow because one group or clique or one group of people, one, two families say, let's go this way. We follow as the Lord leads. I'm better. John says, you know, Peter, Bartholomew, all of these, they're struggling, fighting, walking down the road, and they're trying to figure out who's the best, who's the better. They disputed about it. Matter of fact, in one portion of Scripture, they kind of was sorrowful about it. If you go back over in Matthew chapter 17, hold your place in Mark. Here's another place they brought it up. Matthew chapter 17, verse 23. Matthew 17 and verse number 23, it says here, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. This is what Jesus tells them. This is another time he's telling them. And guess what it says here? And they were exceeding sorrowful. So they were troubled by it. They didn't understand. They was bothered by it, but it wasn't enough bother that they didn't want to seek preeminence. They were troubled by the saying that it would be Jesus was saying, I'm going to be dead, buried, 3 days, I'm going to rise again. It bothered them. It troubled them. We saw that when Peter rebuked him. But it wasn't enough to stop them from desiring of the preeminence. And his questions to them is why they disputed as they traveled in verse 33, and they were ashamed to answer. So Jesus gave them the answer there, and the dispute was who would be the greatest. Look over in Matthew 18. Matthew 18. And verse number 1. Matthew 18 and verse number 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It was a problem all throughout the ministry. And so it can be in churches today. It happens. Quite a bit. It happens. Who's greatest and who's this? Who's in charge and this? Unless the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. Unless we submit ourselves one to another, we're at fault. The Lord. Now listen, there's positions in churches. We're not ignorant of biblical churches. There's a pastor. There's an office of deacons. But the head is Jesus Christ. Amen. Sister Debbie has the same vote as pastor's got. Sister Rena has the same vote as any other member, and so forth. Brother David, Brother Lee, and Brother Bernie, one vote. But there's safety in a multitude of counsel. And so it's not a preeminence thing. When you have a preeminence thing, somebody that wants to be in charge, you have struggle. We don't need struggle. We need striving together. A struggle is pulling apart. Striving is working for the same cause. And so we strive together that we might bring glory and honor to the Lord. Isn't it amazing how the Lord uses different folks? Just different people, from different backgrounds for a common cause, which is share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm amazed at some folks. I don't even want to go there. It's going to aggravate me, and I'll be here another 40 minutes if I even go there. God so loved the world. Doesn't include, exclude any racial group. That's all I'm saying. Because I can't go, if I go in there, I'll tell you, it burns me up to no end for churches to pass over people because of a skin color. So, I'm first, I'm greatest, I'm best, I'm the one in charge. This is my dog and pony show. Go back to Mark chapter 9. Isn't it amazing how Jesus simply answers these questions of dispute with such a simplicity, yet with such depth? I was talking to someone, and no, let's go. Oh, Lord. Should I tell it? No, I'm not going to tell it. Y'all just think about it. I'll drive y'all crazy. You know you're having trouble. You know you're getting on up there when you're laughing at stuff that you ain't even said yet. Oh. Anyway, I was trying to get off the phone with somebody, and they wouldn't get off the phone, so I said, looking forward to having you in church. Like, the conversation just ended. So I figured out how to get off the phone real quick. Oh, Lord, help. Look at this. I'm first. I'm the biggest. I'm the best. I'm the greatest. I'm the one. I have the preeminence. And they're all looking and they're struggling to find the preeminence. Verse 34, but they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And then Jesus just says, and he sat down. He called the 12 and said to them, he didn't chastise and rebuke them. He was gentle. He simply taught them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all. Isn't it amazing how God puts those words in? And then he doesn't stop. You're going to be last of all, but he says, and servant of all. You know, the Bible tells us that when we've done everything that we possibly can do that's right, this is how the Bible put it, just say to yourself, you're still an unprofitable servant. Listen, this is God's way of success. It's contrary. It's contrary to human flesh and human thought and human logic. To be first, I've got to be last. To be first, I've got to be servant of all. I mean, he puts that little old bitty word in there, A-L-L. Kind of like he said, for all have sinned. All. Servant of all. All means all, and that's all ever mean is all.
Amen.
Every last one of us. Prefer others. Prefer others. What a way to stop a dispute. Because nobody wants to be last. But Jesus said, if you want to be first, if you want to be greatest, you've got to be last. I guess they forgot the conversation that Jesus had with the disciples of John. Remember, John the Baptist is in jail. They came to John. John said, go ask them. I'm tired. I'm hurting. I'm mentally, emotionally, I'm physically hurting. Go ask him if he's the Messiah. Jesus said, go back and tell John the lame walk, the blinds. What an answer. Go tell him the results. And as they walked away, Jesus said, no man born of woman is greater than John. What amazing. And then he goes on to take the simplicity of a child. You know, a child is so simple and trusting in their nature. I mean, so simple and so trusting in their nature. The Lord says there in verse number 36, and he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name,
receive me.
You know, a child is helpless and mostly without any type of influence in worldly affairs. They don't have any influence. They don't have any say-so. Maybe they can ask Mom, "Mom, will you fix macaroni and cheese and some hot dogs tonight?" Maybe they can get something like that. But outside of that, the child has isn't it amazing that the Lord would take that which has very little influence in the world and said, if you take this and you receive one of these, you receive one of these children, not only do you receive me, you receive him that sent me. Isn't that amazing? The other day, I don't know if some of you noticed, on Wednesday night, all the kids run up here, they've got something, and what they really want, they want my dum-dums. That's what they want right there. But they sit down there, and they color, and they draw a picture, they're quiet. And as soon as church is over, Brother Scott's waiting on them sometimes over there. I know it's a little bit, but they're waiting on that candy. Little O'Reilly come up Wednesday night. She said, "Pastor, I didn't get to color you a picture, but you can have my toy." It broke my heart. I said, "Okay, thank you very much." And I didn't want to tell her no. I gave her some candy. I took her a little toy. I was trying to figure out what to do, how to get her toy back to her. And Brother Josh said, "Why don't you stuff it full of candy and give it back to her on Wednesday night?" So, full of candy. That little girl can do nothing for me physically. But the Lord said, "Receive." You see how important your Sunday school class is, church? See how important our Discovery Bible Club is? You ever get to thinking it ain't important? Why don't you come over and read this scripture? He sit them down. He took that child. And he took that child, verse number 35. He called the 12 together. In verse 36, and he took that child, sit him in the very midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." That little Marissa, every service, Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Pastor, what we're going to learn about tonight? What we're going to learn about tonight? Thus we should be willing to serve children and adults who can do little for us. Sometimes we only want to serve those which can help us along the way. If they can do something for the church, man, he probably got big bucks to recognize him. And that family there, they're prominent. Better let it be known that they are in church. Jesus said, "Bring them little children. Serve like the Lord served." So we got a little, I don't even know what this crazy thing is. Some kind of dinosaur head without a body. I don't know. But Riley's going to get a dinosaur head full of candy. And I'll probably get all their toys from home from this day forward. I hope it don't turn out like that. Father, we love you. We thank you for such a wonderful day to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for a portion of Scripture that is very, very convicting if we allow the Holy Spirit of God to convict us. Lord, sometimes we get to a point where we think we cannot learn even from children or even from passages of Scripture like this. God, help us to always be willing to listen to the unction of the Holy Spirit of God, who is the inspiration, the author, and the guider, writer of this precious book that was breathed out of your nostrils. Thank you for preserving your word for us. God, never let us get too big to learn. Never let us get to a point where we have preconceived ideas that when questions do arise, like it did here in this portion of Scripture that the disciples didn't understand but were afraid to ask, God, help us to pause for a moment and ask the Lord to give light and guidance and direction and inspiration to our heart that we might understand a portion of the passage of Scripture. God, help us to serve one another with all of our heart, that we might be found faithful in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, choir, make sure you come to your place real quick. You get to singing. Then Brother Jim will tell everybody else.